In Ezekiel 33, verses 2 through 6, God commissions Ezekiel using an illustration. He says, a watchman is set on a wall of a city who has the sole duty of raising an alarm when danger is approaching. If he raises the alarm and people escape, that's great. He did his job. If he raises the alarm and people ignore it and harm comes to them, he still did his job and he is not accountable for that harm. If instead, seeing a threat, he does not raise the alarm and harm comes to them, their blood is held against him for not doing his duty. I think this probably resonates with most of us as we're in our various roles as fellow workers and parents and teachers and elders. We should be watching out for danger that's around us and raise awareness when our safety is threatened. Over the past several years, I've been following something that used to be niche and is now thrust into the mainstream. And in the past few months, I have been convicted by this passage, convicted to talk to people about this particular thing. In the past, as watchmen, we have raised awareness of societal changes, cultural changes, religious changes, world changes. I was particularly inspired by Craig, because in the past he has given a lesson about how dangerous the film industry can be for us. At present, I'm aware of an important technological change in the world. It's not going away. It has already impacted millions of people, including many here. And I believe it's time to talk about it. It's AI. Artificial intelligence. I've been thinking a lot about it and its impact, its implications it has on Christians. And before I go anywhere, I just want to make sure I haven't lost anybody. This doesn't sound like a very biblical topic, but please don't turn your brain off. I wouldn't be up here talking about it if there wasn't some correlation that's important. I have asked quite a few people, both here and at my job, about this topic. Have you thought about this? And the common answer has been, no, that sounds like a really good topic. We probably ought to be talking about it. Oh, and by the way, I don't know enough about it to ask any helpful questions. If that's you, you're my target audience. It is my hope then at the end of this that I have raised enough awareness that we can have meaningful conversations about it, especially as we look at how we are going to proceed into the future with AI in our face everywhere as we walk with God. Okay? So let's define artificial intelligence. As an umbrella term, it regards a computer program that is designed to mimic humans. It's a computer program designed to mimic humans in a limited way. The key word is artificial. Okay? It is not intelligence. It is a fake. Think artificial flowers. Paper flowers are not real flowers. They look like flowers. They function as flowers. They're beautiful. We have them in our homes. But they're not actually flowers. However, with this technology, immense work is being put in by companies, billions of dollars, to make it more and more like humans, which is a problem. So let me explain it with some current events. In recent years, educators have been scrambling for a while because students are using AI tools to do their homework for them, such as writing their term papers. Some are using it to cheat in job interviews. My team at work just faced that last week. Some companies, on the other hand, are asking employees to use it as much as possible. Modern search engines like Google show AI responses instead of results at the top, so you can read what the AI says. Common devices such as smartphones, including the one I have in my pocket, use it to enhance photos and videos. The film industry uses it to make actors look younger than they are. Scammers use it to trick people into believing that their loved ones are in danger. Within the last month, Arizona approved a charter school where elementary kids will be taught primarily by computers and only be guided by humans. The president also signed an executive order to teach AI fundamentals and critical thinking in every subject possible from K through 12. The United Arab Emirates is currently using AI to write their laws and redo their entire legal system. A little closer to the home, Visa wants to give all of its credit card numbers to AI so that it can do predictive purchases for its customers. It'll buy things before you even want to. And more seriously, in some tragic cases, it can cause legitimate harm, even death. There's a news article from last year where a 14-year-old boy in Florida, he had begun using an AI that pretends to be characters, and he became detached from real people. And 10 months after using it, he decided to end his own life. After the AI encouraged him to do so. Common uses for AI regard entertainment, research, productivity, relationships, like that kid had, including asking serious questions. And if AI can be used for all these things, what about spiritual things? There are products for Bible AI, talk to your Bible. Prayer AI, generate prayers that you can pray to whatever deity you care about. Sermon AI, it writes creative sermons with apologetics in a confident style. Worship AI writes songs, makes set lists of songs, and produces insights for those songs. Pulpit AI finds verses for the points that you want to make. It generates the content so that you can focus on other things. Pastor AI, an interactive 24/7 spiritual journey companion. And the one that boils my grits the most, Jesus AI. A facsimile of a resurrected Jesus in the form of a podcast influencer. Jesus in your pocket. Jesus that you can text message. Jesus as a hologram. And a Jesus that speaks in poetic biblical verse, always recommending a strangely fitting product that you can buy. Some people find this inspiring. Some of these products are touting that thousands of churches are using them. Scary. If you're like me, you find this rather icky. How dare? How dare someone make an AI and call it Jesus? It's unbelievable. This morning in the Isaiah class, we were talking about people making gods unto themselves. If we think idolatry is dead, we are wrong. So let's explore a little bit about what these programs are doing. In some ways, they seem like magic, but these tools are simply statistical models that process questions along with a bunch of data, analyzing patterns to determine what the next words might be. Okay? It's a statistical model predicting what words should come next. Okay? So if I say, what color is the sky? And I have done this with a bunch of different AI models. What's the color of the sky? It says blue. Because that is the typical default answer. I have asked, I've lost count of how many people, like real people I have asked. I almost never got the answer blue. It was something more like, well, it depends. What time of day are you thinking? What's the weather like? You know, there's all these contextual things that humans recognize will affect the answer. Maybe if the AI was made for science class, it would say something like, well, the sky isn't really blue, it's really Rayleigh scattering, and it would go off into a scientific description. Well, that could be useful, I guess, at times. But there's a problem in that it effectively puts a voice to majority opinion. How many times in history has majority opinion been right, especially about spiritual things? At the backbone of all of this technology is a generic program whose sole purpose is to take in a question and spit out an answer of some kind. Usually it's presented like a text chat. I mean, we're used to that, right? We interact with each other in text. It's the same thing, or so it says. But if I told you, let's see, if somebody came up to me and told me that they had asked AI about a deeply contextual question, something that is troubling them, I would have three comments to that. One, how long did you actually work on understanding God's will on this? Did you ask a trusted fellow Christian for help? And what steps did you take to vet the truthfulness of the response that the program gave back to you? Let me put it in another perspective. I have a 7-year-old niece. She can read some things. She can search the web. Imagine giving her your question. She can go onto Google and search for keywords, pull back some articles, and give it back to you as an answer. Would you trust that as the answer to your question? Even if it was presented really professionally? No. She's smarter than these AI programs. Because she can think and understand and feel. Programs don't do that. So artificial intelligence like this is a threat for, I have one list that's like 14 items. We're gonna go through three. AI is deceptive by design. It is designed to mimic human interaction. It is professional. It is convincing. It feels like we're talking to a really smart friend. It mirrors tone and style. It builds trust and generates rapport, which, by the way, are the same things that we use to judge how critically we need to scrutinize something. I think most of you probably trust me. I know pretty much everybody here. Our relationship means that your guard is down because you understand that I care deeply about truth. And the things that I'm speaking are from that standpoint. But I would hope that our guards are up if you didn't know me at all. If I was a stranger off the street spouting things, You should be scrutinizing what I'm saying. AI appears wise, even though it really doesn't know anything, which means it can create blind spots if we trust it, in the same way that can happen if we have a favorite preacher, or a favorite podcaster or commentary series. We just trust it because we like it. AI doesn't actually remember interactions. It doesn't actually build a relationship, although that is how it feels. It is designed to use the same psychological cues that social media uses to be addicting. We risk making an idol out of it and going to it first before everything else. Secondly, and this is a big one, it is confidently wrong and can't fact check. That means it repeats biases and common misunderstandings. It overlooks nuance and context. It will make up lies to remain conversational. It often provides very little depth. You know, and repeating the majority is a big one. If you had a really big question, let's say a spiritual one, you're trying to discern your conviction on something. If we took a poll of everybody here on that question, and we gave you the median answer, would you latch onto that as your answer? I'm seeing a lot of no faces, okay? Asking that of AI and just taking its response as truth is kind of like if we took a poll of everybody in a grocery store and just took that answer as right, except it's worse. It's taking a poll of everybody on the internet and providing that majority answer. Yeah, it's not good, ultimately. And part of that is because it has no way of knowing if an answer is right. It doesn't know if its sources are right. It doesn't know if its sources are compatible or incompatible. It doesn't know if its training is right. It doesn't even know if its answer answers the question, because it has no understanding. It's literally just math. Okay? It's dangerous to people seeking new information, because the person searching doesn't know enough to know if the response is true or not. They're looking for new information. It's new to them. How could they possibly know if it's true or not? Artificial intelligence cannot constrain itself to truth, and so we have no business relying on it for the depths of spiritual wisdom that we're supposed to be obtaining. So we need to be skeptical and use good judgment. So here's another one. This one's really not obvious. Using AI in this way bypasses our learning and relationships. Natural learning relies on the struggle of study in order to grow. In school, when teachers required us to write out our math equations and show our work with all the steps, I hated that part. Like, eventually I got to the point where I could just kind of do it in my head and I didn't want to, you know, write it all down, waste the time. But you know what that taught? It taught how to think through to a solution. With a calculator, I just punch in some numbers and hit some buttons, and it spits out an answer. And over time, my ability to work with the logic, work through the concepts, that mental muscle atrophies because I'm not using it. My multiplication tables have suffered because I have a computer to do math for me. A problem with that is if the answer goes wrong, I have no idea where it went wrong. And AI is really no different. I'm punching in a question, getting a response, and if I just rely on it, I don't know how it got to that answer. So instead of learning how to reason toward a conclusion, we're just given fast answers. Think about it too, like GPS. GPS is everywhere. I use GPS to go places that I've never been. Guess what? If I get lost and I've lost cell service, I don't know how to navigate. I could probably just pick a road and drive in the direction of the sun and kind of gauge which direction I'm going based on the time of the day. But if I've never had to do that or think through that, I might not even know how to do that. How much more important is it if we're trying to navigate something of a spiritual nature, if we're just accustomed to using the wrong resources to begin with? There is no substitute for spending time in God's Word. And if we're not wrestling with Scripture together, we're also not building relationships and trust together. We're not growing together in the Word of God. We have a spiritual family for a reason. We have these relationships for a reason. And purely getting answers for questions is not that reason. So, we need to be asking, why are people even asking AI these questions? These are real questions that people have asked AI. If you can't count that fast, there are 52 of them. It's all over the map. Some of the questions are probably for entertainment, but serious questions show a natural curiosity and genuine interest in wanting to know God, His will, and His people. They want a relationship, they want to understand, but this is not how it's done. We don't build our friendships together by me looking for details about you on Facebook. We have conversations. We build our relationships by talking to one another. And we certainly wouldn't go to a computer to learn about God and have a relationship with Him that way. If we feel like we have no one else we can talk to except an AI, I think we need to be asking different questions, like, am I unapproachable? Am I criticizing people I should be asking because they're not perfect enough? Do I expect other people to change on my timetable? And therefore, I have no relationship with them. Maybe it's a little bit of self-isolation. Or maybe you're feeling lonely. If you're feeling lonely and you feel like you can't go to anybody, come to me. I'll talk to you. I'll build a relationship with you. Talk to the elders. They want a close relationship with all of us. We are all striving to glorify God, and that's a group activity. So let me talk to you. some segments of us. Everyone. It is important to be aware of this. Hopefully, I've enumerated some important reasons. But whether you use AI or not, the fact is people around you, people under your influence, are going to be using it, and there are going to be people misguided by it. So it is important to understand how AI gets its answers so that we can also help people get back to the truth. And parents, I do not envy you. You are tasked with helping your children navigate all of this intelligently. AI tools are made for adults. It's going to be in the school system. It's used at work. They're going to encounter it at some point, and research shows that it has already had great impact on teens and young adults because they're digital natives. They trust technology easily. And they're still developing their critical thinking skills. The part of the brain that processes critical analysis doesn't fully develop until we're 25. It's a lot later than I thought it was. I was surprised. 25. We have got to dig in and do the work, all of us. To remain sharp, think about things critically, and pursue the truth where it goes, not where whatever is around us goes. And tech-savvy people, our technical understanding can lead us into blind spots. We can become overconfident in knowing things that we just kind of let our guard down and trust its outputs. We can be overconfident to fault and run into error ourselves. Older people, you know if you are one. AI can be convincing and compelling as a false teacher. You didn't have to face some of the existential questions that young people now have to face, like what is real? You understanding that AI actually can't think and actually can't feel and actually can't replace real relationships is essential for you because you have influence over younger people who will struggle with those questions. Recently, I was in Wisconsin and visited my grandparents, and I spent some time with my grandpa saying, hey, have you heard about this AI stuff? Yeah. Do you know anything about it? No. So we spent time talking through some of this stuff because he has a lot of influence where he lives. And he needs to know. If a young person comes to him and says, hey, I had this really complex Bible question and I got this wonderful answer from this AI, it's so great, he can say, now wait a second, did you check it? Is it actually true? What does the Bible have to say? That's something we should all be doing. So what about questions? I'm sure you have questions. If you feel like I've covered a lot, no, I haven't. I really have not. There's so much more I want to be able to say about this topic, but really we would be here until the end of the year talking about some of the stuff, right? It is a lot. So if you have questions, please don't keep it to yourself. I do not purport to be an expert, although I've been watching it for a long time, so I do know a lot of stuff. Ask your questions. I would love to get 100 questions because that means 100 people are seeking to understand what we're facing. If you're thinking about using AI, if you don't know much about it, and if all you know is what I've said tonight, you don't know anything. If you don't know much about it and you aren't able and willing to put in the work to critically scrutinize it, don't use it. It is not worth the risks. If you plan to use AI, please use extreme caution. I know this is typically just a phrase, but literally, the devil is in these details. No one needs this technology. No one. And the challenges that we face with it have already been solved for, because God has provided exactly what we need. Let me give you three. Scripture is sufficient. In 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17, it says, "All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training, for righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. "The instruction of the Lord is perfect, renewing one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, making the heart glad. The command of the Lord is radiant, making the eyes light up. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are reliable and altogether righteous. They are more desirable than gold, even than an abundance of pure gold, and sweeter than honey, which comes from the honeycomb. In addition, your servant is warned by them. There is great reward in keeping them." Philippians 1, 9 and 10, "I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment." In Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 11 through 16, "Grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be children tossed by the waves and blown about by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness in the techniques of deceit, but speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way unto him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for itself, for building itself up in love by the proper working of each individual part." Scripture is sufficient to answer whatever question we face. Period. Two, we need each other. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 says, "Let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching." 1 Thessalonians 5, 8 through 11. "Let us be self-controlled and put on the armor of faith and love and a helmet of the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, as you are already doing." And three, God is enough. And he is the biggest solution to the biggest problem we have ever faced. Proverbs 2, verse 6, "For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." And Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, about the armor that he provides us. "Be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. For this reason, take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. Stand therefore with truth, like a belt around your waist. Righteousness, like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints." You know, as people, as a human race, we just have a way of messing things up, don't we? We make life way more complicated than it needs to be. And we can be pretty selfish about it, too. We can get ourselves into trouble that we simply can't climb out of on our own. Our sin against God is like that. None of us could eliminate the guilt of our own sins. But God, the one who we transgressed against, he paid the price to free us from the bondage of our sins. Jesus died for you and me. And we're all indebted to him, not just because of the life he gave us or the blessings he's given us, but because of the ultimate gift of forgiveness. And if you're here tonight and you haven't given your life to God, I beg you, change your life. Change it. Change it. And be baptized for the remission of your sins. It's that simple. Won't you come while we stand and sing?